right. It's the first day of the Lobster Festival, and I'm here in the Marine Tent, and I'm here with an author as a book that's not your ordinary fiction book, because it's not just an adventure. There's a little more to it. Tell me about yourself and the book.
Well, I spent a lot of time sailing on Penobscot Bay, sailing the islands. I lived in Port Clyde for a while, and many, many years ago, I had this idea in my mind that I wanted to write a book. It took 40 years to get it done, and things changed along the way, but I wanted to create an environmental theme, something that was lasting, something that people could sink their teeth into and understand that this world is fragile and we need to take care of it. So I created a thriller. It's a story about a Danish family emigrates around the turn of the century. They settle in Tenants Harbor. Mm-hmm. After World War II, after some very difficult times, they end up buying an island off the coast of Maine, an abandoned island, so to speak, and they raise their family on a homestead. But they've learned science along the way, and one of them leaves the island and becomes a scientist. The other one stays behind. And it's that, those two worlds. And then what happens when the science goes wrong, and we all know that science can go wrong, best intentions are as they are, this scientist has developed a bacteria that eats oil for remediation of oil spills.
Sounds like a wonderful idea.
Well, it is a good idea. And there are bacteria out there that do eat oil. But this particular bacterium was modified by the government, by a contractor, a military contractor, and there's an oil spill off the coast of Massachusetts. And to get rid of that oil spill, because it's height of tourist season and Cape Cod is being threatened, the government takes this new modified bacterium and puts it out on the ocean.
Now stop. Don't want to have the spoiler yet.
That's it. That's
now,
all I'm going to say.
Oh my goodness. And so you talked about the two branches of the family
right
here. Now, so the branch, the branch that is not the scientific branch, how do they interact with them as these things start taking place?
Well, they have the solution to how to survive the disaster, because they know how to live in a self-sustaining environment.
Oh, okay.
So they live on a sustainable island off the coast of Maine, which they can get to if you have a wooden sailboat, something that's not made of plastic.
Oh, so there's a lot of impacts from this foolish use of this.
Right.
Part
of the book is about the family, the scientific branch of the family, making the decision whether they're going to stay behind and help solve the problem, or whether they're going to escape to the island and survive that way. So there's that decisions that have to be made.
And so so the readers will find out about that.
Yes, they will.
So from my glance into things there, very detailed, I notice there's the story, and then there's a lot of narrative describing the area and place, the weather, all these sort of things. It really makes you feel like you're there.
If you're a sailor, for example, there's some great sailing scenes. A rescue was made by part of the family in a wooden schooner from Rockland, going down the coast to Chesapeake Bay. And so there's some great scenes in along the way that they encounter a storm, and they have to figure out sort of accidentally that their boat will survive because it's an old schooner made of wood and not plastic and other materials.
Right.
That are
However, it is a crew that knows their boat.
That's correct.
And so it's a real battle between the sea and the family boat.
Right. And the name of the book is Destiny, and the name of the sailboat is Destiny. You know, so it's sort of you got to figure out what the destiny part is. It's your destiny, so there's a lot of questions to be answered.
So it's, in some ways, it's an apocalyptic story then. The end may happen one way or the other.
In my mind, an apocalyptic story doesn't come to any good. In this book, I have to imagine that the world could be a better place. If you get rid of oil and get rid of all of the byproducts of oil and all the dangers that go along with it, and you end up in a society basically that's pre-industrial. And that's, in my mind, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We can survive. This is a story about a disaster that people can survive if they're smart.
Now, it sounds like then, if suddenly, like you said, it's post-petroleum, then, one thing I found remarkable as I looked back at my fisheries histories and things was it seemed like into the mid-19th century, so we reached the very height of non-petroleum mechanisms about whether it's everything from this. There really to me, it's something as trivial as you look at the science books. The one year they have very incredibly detailed engravings and drawings they're using the same. Then the next one is photographs, which don't even look nearly as good in a way. But however, the engravers are now gone, but it sounds like just as that changes in your book, there's going to be a lot of other people that have to adapt suddenly. Right. Car repair is not the order of the hour anymore, I think it sounds like.
Well, in my book, you can imagine that high society will not survive, but your indigenous people who are familiar with how to survive in those kind of situations, those third world countries, people who know how to survive, they will survive. So it puts a lot of pressure on the scientific community to come up with a solution that will allow them to survive and flourish too.
But as a post-patrol, well, this would be a very interesting read then.
I think so.
Wow, you have a credit card thingy?
We do. We take credit cards. We buy. I'm here with Main Office Publishing, who is a local business here in Rockland, mm-hmm. and they've published my book for me as an indie book. Mm-hmm. But I recently won the Green Book Festival in San Francisco, so we've getting some national recognition on this book now as well.
All right. Well, I'd like to go ahead and get one then, because it's a lot more interesting than I thought it was going to be. Just your basic hero villain thing or something.
Yeah, there's a lot to this book, a lot more than people understand, and it's a big book. You know, it's 360 pages long, but it goes fast. And I tell people if you don't want to sleep tonight, that this is the book for you.
Oh no, I hate that happens. I stayed up late last night. What the heck was I reading? It was interesting enough that I kept. Oh, I just heard for the first time. It's called The Hunger Games.
Never read it, but I saw the movie.
So. I haven't seen the movie, and I'd rather not. I like, typically, often, books in the movie, it's like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. A wonderful book, ridiculous movie.
Well, that's one of the main comments that I have about this book, is it make a great movie, because it's very visual. I like to write in a visual manner, so that this book would make a good movie, I hope.
So what was your own literary past? What impelled you to become a writer?
Well, when I came out of high school back in the early 70s, I decided I wanted to be a writer then, but I was a musician, and I got sort of sidetracked. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I tried different attempts. But about 10 years ago, I had an idea for the story, using parts of the story that I had developed back in the 70s. The family idea is something that's been with me all along. But how to focus, you know, the book onto a subject that people can relate to meant sort of updating things as they went along. So that's why I came up with the oil-eating bacteria.
Oh, it almost made me think of Ice Nine. Remember Kurt Vonnegut and something? It was, I forget, what was the Cat's Cradle? One of those.
Yeah, right.
Something that solidified the ocean.
Yeah.
But this sounds really interesting then. And like I say, certainly a cut different from your average, global disaster type story. Then.
Yeah, I disaster is a word I don't like to use, because to me it's a better world. You know, it's going to lead us to a better place.
Well, the making of the omelet, as opposed to
yes,
the omelet.
That's correct. Yeah, there is a lot of it. It's called an eco thriller. It's a sort of a new genre, so it has that thriller aspect. So it's a lot of excitement, a lot of things going on.
Well, why don't you sell me one of them? Then?
I will do that. Glad to. You have to see Dan at Main Office Publishing. Okay. He'll take your your dollars,
and you'll sign it.
I will sign it to whomever you'd like.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.